listener production. If life was a cereal box, this would be the toy inside.
Oh, I wanted that one.
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Hello and welcome to All Day Breakfast today. I'm Alex, that is Matt. How you going, Matty?
I'm good, thanks, Alex. How was your march yesterday?
Yes, it was good in the only way it can be good, in that it's a lot of people on the same page coming together for change. I did head along to the Melbourne March for Justice with some really powerful speeches. A lot of people, yeah, quite rightly upset with where we are and the current trajectory that we're heading. I mean, it's a bit of an indictment when, you know, all of these people mostly asking for an independent inquiry. And at that point is a little bit too much to ask, it seems, of the current people who are in the situation. But yeah, just the harrowing stories. And something for me is just with the statistics of how many people are affected by, you know, family violence, domestic violence, statistics and those kind of things, you know, one in three, one in five losing a woman a week, any statistic that you can come out with is just so harrowing. And just seeing that many women gathered in one place and realizing that everyone there has their own stories, man, really touching stuff. And hopefully it's some change comes of it. So yeah, really proud of the people who were able to do that. And yeah, it was a real honor to be standing there and listening to a few of these really, really articulate, powerful people doing their best to turn things around in Australia.
Oh, that's awesome, man. It really is great that you're able to get along. And it's great that so many people were able to stand up and let their voices be heard.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not going to get into it today. I mean, it's always tough for us to cover these kind of things. We're just two dudes hanging out there. But yeah, I wanted to say we're absolutely with you and support everything that's happening in that realm. So sending our best to everyone who headed along yesterday. We've got a big show for you today, though. Matt O'Kine, I'm very excited to hear what you've got first up. Always good when Matt O'Kine says, oh, yeah, I got a little story. So that's coming up. There could be a rant dog coming out of the woodwork today. So be very careful. And we have an incredible guest. Sammy Shah is his name. He's a comedian. You might have read one of his books, I'm Migrant, The Islamic Republic of Australia. He's written as well. He's on a bunch of podcasts. He's got a new comedy show called Cuck. And it's about what it says on the box, really. It's a really interesting story. And yeah, we'll be really interested to chat to Sammy a little bit later on. Very funny and interesting dude.
Well, we're in for a big Tuesday. This is Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Let's get started. Hope you're having a good one.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Welcome back to Matt and Alex, where Matt was meant to begin talking, but he started laughing instead.
Only because I've got a thing in my notes, right? When things happen to me, no. I put them in my notes.
On your phone. Right?
Yeah. So if you're listening, you're wondering, where do all of these incredible ideas come from? Okay. When we're talking about things like what's your juice and
Google autofill game, meme market update.
I look to my notes and
one
I have
of these
things like
did
this.
Did it actually happen?
Look at this, Alex Dyson. This is in my notes. I have no idea why I have written this. This is what I've written. Would you prefer to have three bum cheeks or three nostrils? Now, I don't know what that means. I honestly cannot tell you why I thought that that would be a worthy discussion.
That's barely thought worthy, let alone noteworthy.
Obviously, you'd prefer three butt cheeks.
Why?
Sitting would be so much more comfortable.
No, it wouldn't. You'd have a middle and you'd be teetering in between.
No,
it'd
be a very flat one. Anyway, look. The other reason why I was laughing is because I was looking at another sentence in my notes that just says, huge moth in boxer shorts. Not boxer shorts, my board shorts. Put on my board shorts yesterday. They've been drying outside. Look down, giant moth on my leg. I had put on shorts and a moth.
So, when have you put on a moth?
But anyway, so that's not what I was wanting to talk about. What I was wanting to talk about.
So those are going to go into the, they get deleted from the notes or they just sit there and go all the way down to the bottom?
Once I've said them, they do get out. Yeah. So they can finally, huge moth in board shorts can go and the three bum cheeks or three nostrils. And I'll tell you what, that's very down on the list. I've been waiting a while to to talk about that one, and it was not worth the wait. Okay.
But is this leading to something worthwhile that you've got for us today?
Well, I'll tell you what actually happened. I mean, okay, yesterday, new outbreak in New South Wales.
Oh, right. The hot streak. Yeah, ended.
Yeah, ended. 55 days gone, which is a bit of a shame. I was feeling really, like, confident, you know?
Well, yesterday, first day that Australia was totally open, all the states opened the borders to...
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know? And I was like, for once, for once, we're all free to roam. And then it's like you know, COVID new, and boom, shut it down. Mm. Anyway, so I get in a ride share yesterday after the show, okay, and get in. The driver says, "Oh, you don't have to wear your mask in here if you don't want to." And I said, "Oh, no, I just would prefer to, you know."
Mm. More as a courtesy to you.
Yeah, I said, you know, it's fine. And he goes, "Oh, do you want me to put mine on?" And I said, "Oh, I mean, you do whatever you want, but it's fine." And so I'm sitting there with my mask. And I said, I just wanted to be, you know, a bit, I'm trying to be cautious because the streak ended.
Yep.
And the driver said, "Oh, what? Was there a case? Was there?" I said, "Yeah, you know, security guard from Mantra, you know, just in the next suburb, Haymarket." And the driver goes, "Oh, is that the tall, skinny security guard?" I said, "Well, I don't know."
The tall, skinny said, building.
Yeah, well, no. He says that the tall, skinny security guy. I said, "I don't know if he's tall or skinny. Why?" And then the driver goes, "Oh, no, it's just because I picked up security guard from Mantra a few days ago." And I was like, "Ah!"
Well, he might have been going to his other job, because New South Wales, one of the few states that still allow the quarantine workers to have multiple jobs.
Yeah, and I don't want to shame anyone. I don't want to shame anyone. No one tries to catch it.
No, and working in those places, like, you need people to do that.
Exactly.
Except for when they're bringing in those robots roaming the corridors. But you genuinely need people to do it. And hats off to the people who have stepped up and are walking around places where there are positive cases.
Yeah, hats off, masks on. Driver, please. I'm dying here. You should have seen me. I don't want to touch the door handles.
From there, not putting on that mask.
Imagine that, just dropping that one. He literally goes, "Yeah, it was a few days ago, maybe a bit less than a week, so, but that'd be fine." And I'm like, "What do you mean, mate? Have you heard of incubation? Do you understand this bloody virus at all, mate? I'm in a hot zone right now. This car is a hot zone." So now I've just got a countdown. Just worried.
Go and get a test?
No, that's what you've been doing the whole symptoms.
Time. No symptoms.
I don't know. I'm terrified. I know Sophia's going to bring someone home. You mark my words. 3 days from now, I'll be in some echoey room because I'll be doing the show from a lounge room.
Yeah, and then I'll be reading the news. And it's like, "Oh, there's a new case in New South Wales. He's visited Bartholomew's Schnitzel Emporium." He's gone down to his local craft brewery.
Yeah, multiple times in a day. That's that.
And then at 5 p.m. went to pick up the daughter from daycare. Wonder who this mystery case
could be.
Anyway, there's a warning. Masks on, people. I mean, it's a little thing. It's a little thing. We're not, you know, to the people in hospitals and those places have to wear them literally all day in the, you know, in the back of the seat. Pop them on.
And I should say, shout out to all the people who are working security, all the people who are working on the front line. No slight to you guys. It just telling my story.
Coffee? Yeah, coffee.
A seventh coffee never hurt anyone.
Oh, I feel a buzz.
Yes, Matt, it is a Tuesday, and it is that one time of the week where I get to shed my warm, bubbly marshmallow exterior and take a pretty overt shot at the ratings, because we all know there's one type of radio announcer that rates in Australia.
Mm.
And it's not your, you know, Mr. Nice Guy.
It's not bloody Goody Two Shoes or Dyson over here.
It's not him. It's not that rat dog.
Look at me doing nice things and being nice. No, you idiot. No. You're costing us bloody pay rises.
That's it. Well, I think that yours fart contests could be having an impact as well. But you are absolutely right. It doesn't get rid of the point. And that's why I do like to add an end to my nickname on Tuesdays, where I become yes. Rant Dog.
Rat Dong.
Yes. I had to have a rant. But because, you know, it's not my natural state, you know, Rant Dog just doesn't come out. Same as, you know, if you're a werewolf, usually you're just wandering around, aren't you? You're a nice dude.
You're just licking your paws, cleaning behind your ears.
No, you're a human for most of the month.
Oh, that's right.
What do you know anything about werewolves?
I forgot. I thought they were wolves most of the time, and then
no.
Then
humans most of the time. But once that full moon comes out from behind the clouds, that's when the claws come through. That's when the hair breaks through the skin. And I got to tell you what, people, you were my full moon. So what we like you to do is to post us a little voice message, just something that's riling you up a little bit.
Mm.
Okay, and that is the little jump start that is needed to get the Rant Dog out and roaming the streets. Thank you very much to Mark for sending in a voice memo, which is something that's been annoying him recently. And it involves everyone's favourite cup of caffeine.
G'day, Rant Dog. My little issue here, my gripe, is with the baristas of Australia. And pretty handy that they've got a lot of milk on hand because they're going to need it for the spice I'm dropping. All right, simple thing. There's only three sizes of coffee. There's small, there's medium, and there's large. If I order a large, I want the biggest coffee you got. And I don't want to then find out you've got an extra large or jumbo or anything else. Just give me your biggest coffee. I went to one place that had a coffee called a bucket. Unless it's got a handle or unless I need two hands to pick it up, it's not a bucket. It's a coffee, all right? Just three sizes. It's that simple. Enough with the madness.
Uh-oh. Step back.
Oh, tell you what, Mark.
I tell you what, like you could heat some milk with the steam that's coming out of your ears. What's
going
on?
Does anyone need a cappuccino? Because I'm steaming, mate. I am absolutely steaming about this. Mark makes an excellent point because the baristas of Australia are absolutely out of control. Not to mention these bloody overseas mob, Juventus, okay? Getting bigger and bigger. In Australia, they keep getting smaller and smaller. My smalls recently, so I have to get large. Larges are too big. Smalls are too small. That's why I have a 1.5 coffee keep cup. Oh, you think that's good when you put it down in front of the barista? They go, oh, would you like a regular coffee? I'm like, fill it up. Fill it up to the top. I'm getting these keep cup back. It's 2/3 full. I'm like, just charge me whatever. Put the extra milk in, please. Goodness gracious me.
How do you feel about it? I mean, I do think that there should be a standard in sizing. The same thing goes with beers, Alex Dyson. When you go to Adelaide. You've been to Adelaide recently? Sign on the pub says $6 pint. You think, oh, licking my lips at that. Walk in and you say, that's a schooner. And they're like, no, schooners are pints in Adelaide. A pint's called an imperial pint. You're like, what?
You know where I think we're going wrong here? Bloody using the imperial system. Because on coffee, it's a 6 ounce, it's an 8 ounce, it's a 12 ounce. What's wrong with mills? What's the matter with mills? I thought we all decided. I thought we had a referendum, all right? I can hear myself echoing my own headphones. That's how angry I am about this. I was up in Townsville over Christmas, okay, grabbing a coffee, just a regular thanks. They gave me the bucket. And I'm like, this is regular?
That happened to me in Port Macquarie.
Yeah.
I don't trust any cafe that has a medium.
Only be two.
Yes, of course. It should either be a regular or a large. All right?
No middle ground.
You either
Stop
want
sitting on the fence, baristas.
You either want your coffee and a little bit more or just the coffee.
Out in the country, they think everyone drinks a litre of coffee. No. Can we get some Australian standards here? Because the world's confused. Anyway, thank you very much, Mark, for bringing that to our attention. Sorry, I just blacked out. Where are we up to?
You're back,
are we talking
man.
To Sammy Shah soon, or Where are we?
Are you wearing contacts? Are your eyes usually that red?
Goodness gracious.
Your pupils are laser beams right now.
Please, if you want to get a little bit frothy and send us a topic on which we can yell at people, matt.ad.alex is the Instagram DM inbox for you.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect. All day breakfast.
Now, Matt O'Kyman, it's time to chat to someone who, like us, for a few years got up on behalf of the taxpayer and talked into a microphone on the ABC.
That's right.
He's now doing his comedy show, Cuck, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's Mr. Sammy Shah. G'day, Sammy.
Hey, how are you doing? What time did you guys wake up?
Now or then? Because back in the day when we were doing Triple J, we had the 4:15. Matt would come and pick me up at about 10 to 5 and we'd roll on in. What about yourself?
That's pretty relaxed. I had to, because ABC Breakfast Radio on Radio Melbourne used to start, we used to be on air at 5:30, but you had to do a lot of like a news prep, so reading the newspaper and stuff. So I woke up at 3 a.m. I'd be in the office by 4:15 at the latest, and then 4 o'clock usually. And then, from 4 to 5:30 was the prep time and everything. Yeah, it was hard. I'm not a morning person. I did not do well.
Did you consider just playing lots of music in between so you'd have a lot more time where you didn't have to be talking about news?
How I wish that was an option, man. Because it was just like, now I understand. Like, I used to listen to Red Simons when he did it before me. And Red would do this thing where, like, you know, he'd do the thinking voice where he'd be like, and I was like, oh, that's what he's doing. He's just warming up to the day. It's a trick I learned as well then, yeah.
Did you have much hate? Because I don't know what the difference between the older audience of ABC Local compared to the whippersnappers of Triple J. Because, I mean, you know, I copped heaps of hate. But did you get hate?
Man. First, they were angry at me for not being Red Simons, which was a whole... I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not Red Simons. So that was like a whole thing that I talked basically for about a year. Then they got angry at me for daring to be a brown guy who's an immigrant being on their radio. So there was a whole year of like, what is this, Radio Bangladesh? Like that kind of stuff.
Oh my God, Sammy.
Good times, eh? God. You, and then you're up at 3 a.m. just copping that. Like, this is what I want before the sun's up. Just abuse. Yeah, that's awesome. Look, you've done very well since then. You're now doing a brand new show, Melbourne Comedy Festival, this year.
I am.
It is called Cuck.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You're doing well comedy-wise, but I've got to tell you, because I saw a little bit of you doing a stand-up spot recently, Sammy.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to ask you this question is just to say, how was your 2020?
Oh, man, how was anyone's 2020? If you're in Melbourne, which is where I am, it was a disaster. But yeah, you know, and it's funny because the story that I tell on stage, it turns out a lot of people had similar experiences, which is the marriage fell apart completely and utterly. It turns out 7 months of lockdown are going to destroy relationships. And mine was actually, to be fair, mine ended just before lockdown started. So maybe it was just doomed to start with.
So you can't even blame COVID, man. That sucks.
No, I can't. I got married September 2019. By December, January, my partner at the time, I discovered, was not as committed to one of the commandments or one of the vows that you make when you get married. I think it was, don't covet your neighbor's partner or whatever. But so she, the show's called Cuck, and the word cuck is short for cuckold, which is a man whose wife had an affair. So you can take from that what you will.
Oh, man. I mean, I've been there, dude. Don't worry. I based a stand-up show on it. I've got a TV series on it, so I know how you feel. What's it been? What's it like going through it? You know, I mean, because I know what it was like. I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning, going, after having huge chats the night before, and then you come into work 4:30, turn the mics on, someone's like, "Shut up, O'Kine." You're like, "No, you shut up. my life's falling apart."
It would have been horrific anyway, right? Like when you find out that your partner's cheating on you, that's not a great thing to discover anyway. When you find out your partner's cheating on you right after you are basically in debt over a wedding that the partner wanted, That's not great. And when you find out your partner's cheating on you just before lockdown starts, so your partner moves out to be with their new person, while you're now going to spend 7 months alone contemplating your mortality with two cats that you didn't want to start with. And now,
what? Oh, you had the cats and I didn't take the cats?
No, I kept the cats because I was like, I need something to hold on to. So, yeah.
So you were left after 7 months of marriage with a wedding debt and two cats that weren't yours.
I was left after 4 months of marriage with a wedding debt and two cats that weren't mine for 7 months of lockdown. Yes.
Wow.
But it is a thing where you get an hour show out of it, I guess. So that's what's manageable.
That's it. And tell us about that process. Is it cathartic? Is it sad? Is it funny? How do you get it on stage? And then how do you feel being able to see the people in the front row reacting to your stories of woe?
Well, I mean, look, the writing process and the performing process is cathartic. And that's something that's true to any stand-up comedian. You know, like that gap between trauma and like tragedy plus time equals comedy, that equation. With comedians, it's actually really short. Like tragedy plus time, there's not much time that we need to start writing the comedy or performing it. So, you know, my catharsis was being able to talk about it on stage, and that really helped me a lot. But the, and the reaction from the audience has been amazing. Every time I talk about it, there's a moment where the audience feels like a gut punch. You can see the air kind of get sucked out of people's lungs. And then you can see them go, okay. And he seems to be okay talking about this. So we're okay laughing about it. And they kind of come on along on the journey. And then after shows, I've had so many people coming up to me and going, yeah, my partner cheated on me during lockdown. And it turns out Melbourne is what, 4 million people? It turns out 2 million of them were cheating on the other 2 million throughout. So it's been, you know, yeah, it turns out we're a city of cheaters. I don't know what to tell you.
It's a very tough thing to do though, and I'm speaking from personal experience, because you have to ensure that you are only telling your story, because no matter how much you don't like another person or you feel an incentive injustice about what they did or the way they treated you, you still don't have a right to tell their story. So it's a really fine balance and have you figured that out along the way, I guess?
I think I have. You know, I don't hate that. I don't hate her. I have no, you know, like, yeah, it was messed up what happened. It was terrible. But it turns out it's a fairly universal thing. A lot of people do these things and people are fallible. And I've done terrible things in my life. I'm sure that other people, if they told their story, would go like, I'd be the villain. So I think the way I tell it, or at least I'm aspiring to tell it, is more just people laughing at me or with me about the tragedy of the situation than getting, you know, than that person looking bad. I mean, they look a little bad. They don't look great. But, you know, if you don't want to look bad, you shouldn't have cheated on me. But overall.
Indeed. Well, you've managed to do it incredibly, Sammy Shah. Thank you so much for chatting to us here on All Day Breakfast. The show is called Cuck. It's on at Comedy Republic, which I'm so excited about. Oh, get to come down and check it out this year for the festival. Thank you so much. Really, appreciate your time and being so open and honest with us. Sammy, you're an absolute legend. We really appreciate you chatting to us here today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I smell toast.
Now, Matt, we heard yesterday that due to being the subject of the song The Cat's in the Cradle, doing a little bit of that hard work, missing out on the moments, that you missed one of the all-time great things that can happen in Australia, and that's a koala sighting on the beach.
Yeah. I mean, I never see it in the cold, hard, mean streets of Sydney, you know. But suddenly we're away, Port Macquarie, having a little bit of a holiday. I stay at home doing a bit of work. Next minute, everyone else with us sees a koala just chilling in the public.
Goodness me, I tell you what, I hate when people come back and going, oh my God, or you're like looking, you're buying a pie when Mark of the Year's taken at the footy or something like that. It's just the worst feeling. So we've asked you, what have you missed out on? And we got a call from Emma in the ACT. Hello, Emma.
Hi, boys. How are you doing?
Good. First things first, we're chatting about the Women's March earlier on in the show, and you happened to go along to the one in Canberra.
Yeah, I absolutely did. I went along yesterday and it was just simply incredible seeing all those people show up, having an appearance from Brittany Higgins. Yeah, really amazing statement and great to be amongst it.
Tell you what, the guts of Brittany Higgins to be, you know, embroiled in this particular, what's turned into a political scandal, but must be just a real personal, you know, trauma that she'd be suffering. So to be able to jump up on stage and give the speech that she did, that must have been incredible to witness.
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, full credit to her. I don't know how she does it, but it's certainly extremely inspirational and really kind of empowering a huge movement here in Australia and pushing it along as it should be.
Well, yeah, well, we've got a couple of grabs from her speech that we'll be playing a little bit later on in today's show. But we wanted to also talk to you about, Emma, what you missed out on, because you went on a tour in Africa.
Yeah, that's right. And look, boys, mine was also wildlife related, which is why I thought of this one. But yeah, I was in Zimbabwe a few years ago, and, you know, you want to go along, you want to see all the top animals and all that kind of thing, the things you can't spot in Australia. And I was chatting with one of the kind of tour guides that was at one of the lodges, and I was saying, oh, look, what's the likelihood of us seeing a leopard? Because they're solo, very elusive animal. And he said, look, I've been working here for 9 years and I've never seen a leopard. And I was like, oh, okay, this isn't going to happen. So then we went out on the tour and he stayed back at the lodge, went out on the tour, and sure enough, we spotted a leopard.
So you were on the good end. You got to see this majestic creature in its natural habitat, and the poor dude who's been running tours for 9 years missed out.
Yep. And so we went back to the lodge and I was very excited and was like, you won't believe it. Like, we saw a leopard. And I thought that he would be excited for us, but he just looked really distraught.
Oh, no. Unless it's all an act, Emma. Maybe he just says, yeah, nah, never seen one. Meanwhile, goes and plants one in a tree knowing when you'll drive past.
Look, he would have done a pretty bloody good job and is clearly a pretty bloody good actor if that's the case. Because
yeah.
I kind of played it down when I realised how sad he was about it.
Oh, it wasn't that majestic. It was just slightly majestic.
It also could have just been a big cat with spots that someone painted on it. I don't know, maybe. Oh, Emma, well, look, we're glad that you got to see it anyway. Very exciting stuff. And thank you very much for listening to Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast and for letting us know how yesterday's Women's March in Canberra went. We really appreciate you getting in touch.
Yeah, no worries, boys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You're the best, Emma. Thank you. Bye. And as always, the door never shuts on Talkback. So feel free to get in touch with us, matt.and.alex, should you have something that tweaks in your mind when you hear a couple of the yarns that come through on this little podcast.
Man, I remember getting chased by a wild hog at the safari that I was on. Dad never lets me forget about it. Oh, he has a good cackle. I'm just getting chased around the lodge by this bloody wild hog, and Dad's just like, ah, you really ran when that hog was chasing you. I'm like, yeah, it's a bloody horned with tusks and a hog coming at me. Of course I'm running, mate.
Well, anyways. The liking. That's Mr. Hog. Anyway, good times. I just think of that. Thank you very much, Emma. And thank you for listening to All Day Breakfast today. We really appreciate your attendance, I guess you could say, to this little community that we have here.
Well, we've been talking about the women's marches that took place around the country yesterday. Alex, you did attend, as did our last caller, Emma, in Canberra. So we thought we'd play you a little snippet from Brittany Higgins and her powerful speech from yesterday's march in Canberra. We hope you are well. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you to Sammy Shah for joining us as well. Please check out his show at Comedy Republic. And we will see you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
I speak to you today out of necessity. The system is broken. The glass ceiling is still in place, and there are significant failings in the power structures within our institutions. We are here because it's unfathomable that we are still having to fight this same stale, tired fight. One out of every five women in Australia will be sexually assaulted or raped in their lifetime. And if you're a woman of colour, those statistics are even higher. I was raped inside Parliament House by a colleague, and for so long, it felt like the people around me only cared because of where it happened and what it might mean for them. Past few weeks on a personal level have been extremely difficult. I watched as the Prime Minister of Australia publicly apologised to me through the media, while privately his team actively discredited and undermined my loved ones. These are the people making our laws and governing the country. As our leaders, they should be the exemplar, the gold standard. Sadly, this just isn't the case. If they aren't committed to addressing these issues in their own offices, what confidence can the women of Australia have that they will be proactive in addressing this issue in the broader community? I decided to resign and share my story because it was the only thing I felt I could do to say that I didn't co-sign this behaviour. That I don't believe what happened was right, that I don't believe a brochure is adequate support, that I don't believe people should be isolated, intimidated, and ignored after traumatic incidents inside the workplace. I came forward with my story to hopefully protect other women. So I have spoken out with what little I have to say that this isn't okay and they need to do better. We all need to do better.
Listener.